There we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And hello. Yeah, welcome to Journeys with JP. Completely spontaneous. Here I am, Revolution Radio. I've had 4 hours of Radio today. Can you stand enough of me? Do you want to talk to me? I've been talking earlier with Mona on her show, and we were talking about the healing of trauma. And so if anybody's wanting to talk about that, you can come along, give me a call on that magic Revolution Radio number that I can never remember, something 2988. 40 blah 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 blah. Somebody get it for me. Indeed, let's just connect to the chat room there in Revolution Radio, and I will be right with you. There we go. All night cafe. No, where are we? Rev Radio. Hello, everybody. Hello, Stardust Man. So if y'all want to call, tell us about, you know, your experience over the weekend. Was it positive? Did you have a good time? Did you go on a march? Did you, make a mess in Washington? Sorry. Hang on. M-U-M-B-E-R. If you wish to join me on the air, it's, 310-421-4053. And, if you wish to, 310-421-4053. I mean, you should know this by now if you've been listening to Revolution Radio. This is, Studio B. Spontaneous combustion from whatever might, happen. I'm a combustion chamber. I will take ingredients from everywhere and bind them together in an alchemical mixture that will always end up as something maybe slightly funny. Yes. Anyway, yes. Banjo picking gal. Hey, I haven't seen you for a while. So here we are. Studio B, 310-421-4053. Alternatively, if you're in Britain, and I know there are at least 10 people listening from Britain. Hang on, let me just check. Is it more than 10? Oh, we've got 7 people on Wall Street Radio, and there's probably a couple in Rev Radio as well. So, hands up who's in the UK in the Revolution Radio chat room. Let's see what's going on here. I've got Slovenia and Holland and Germany and France and we've even got an other. I wonder where that is. 445 rr.com, SoCal, Southern California. All right, that's in Southern California. Yay! Hi, Tall Iris. Where are you? So who's in Britain? Hands up. Who's in Britain? All right, I'm gonna blow. This is the elevator. So what you gotta imagine is, these are men from Glasgow. And Glaswegian men have a very particular accent, and women as well, have a very particular kind of accent. And it's not really the same as, any of the others. Let's see, have I got it there? Where is it? Oh God. Anyway, look, first of all, I need to play a CPAC advert. So let me do that first and then I'll find the thing when we do that. So here we go. Here's the CPAC advert that I just made for Hawk, it was such a good one, I thought I'd play it. Starting at 4 p.m. Thursday, January 19th, any donor of $50 or more will receive a seed pack with 16,500 seeds worth $150.
Stand by.
All non-GMO heirloom vegetable seeds, sponsored by the seed company Mike Works For, to provide the seed packs. Make sure when you're making the donation to include in the buyer's notes your address and note special seed promotion. Includes the following seeds. Speed it up for your time and convenience. Arugula, slow bolt. Asparagus, Mary Washington. Bean, blue lake bush. Beets, Detroit, dark red. Broccoli, Carol Brasier. Brussels sprouts, Long Island. Cabbage, red acre. Cantaloupe, Hale's best jumbo. Carrots, scarlet nanzas. Cauliflower, snowball white. Celery, Utah. Collards, Georgia southern. Corn, delicious. Cucumber, Boston pickling. Eggplant, black beauty. Honeydew, green flesh. Kale, blue scotch curl. Lettuce, butter crunch. Lettuce, iceberg. Lettuce, Paris island. Lettuce, red romaine. Okra, spineless. Onion, yellow Spanish. Pea, green arrow. Pumpkin, Big Macs. Radish, cherry bell. That's right. If you donate $50 or more, you get this seed pack free.
Pow.
Good, eh? Get all those seeds. Give money. Get seeds. Really good deal. Really, really good deal. Area code 870. Who's that and where are you?
Yeah, JP, this is your fellow antenna long-haired Stardust Man.
Stardust Man. All right. Hi, Daryl.
Right.
Have you changed numbers, or is this...
No, this is a cell phone.
Ah, all right, so there's a different number. All right, I've got you down. So next time you call, I'll be able to recognize who it is and not go, who's that? Ah, Deborah, hello.
Hey, I thought I'd just hang out till somebody else jumps on with you.
All right, well, we're all here together now. So you got Daryl over in Texas, I believe. Is that right? You're in Texas?
No.
Where?
Northern Arkansas, just straight below, just a little bit into Arkansas from Branson, Missouri.
All right. Okay. So Arkansas. And I hope it's not that sore. And Deborah.
I was born and raised in North Dakota. The Dakota access means a whole lot to me.
Yes, indeed. So do you have any news? We spoke to Audrey Lewis about 3 hours ago. He popped into the chat room for a little while in Wolf Spirit Radio, and he was saying that there's about 15 veterans still there, and they're forming a small camp and they're getting a yurt, and so they look like they're putting down some roots for the at least for the time being.
Yeah, I don't know anything. Yeah. Do you know anything, Daryl?
I don't know anything lately. All I know is when I was raised up there, I know the winters can get so harsh. I was raised up on a farm, and you can put your hand in front of your face and they'll be able to see it. And we had to take a rope and put it between the house and the barn because the cows always need to be milked, even in a blizzard. And we have to follow that rope to the barn to be able to milk those cows. Over.
Wow, that's hard. That's a hard weather. Very good. And you still doing that now?
No, I'm in Arkansas. It's just like unbelievably warm right here right now.
I see. Hey, are you near any crystal suppliers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know, you never know. You might be able to do a really good business because Arkansas is an exporter of crystals, and if you can get them cheap. Sort of wrap them up and send them to people. You might do a good business.
I've had a garden in my backyard for well over 10 years, and I almost call it a rock garden. There's so many rocks, but I've never seen crystals in this particular part. But although, you're speaking of crystals, There was a volcano here in Arkansas, and which brings up that subject. It just kind of really, really weirds me out because a few years back I had this dream of a volcano coming back to life, and it's kind of like in Mexico where the guy in his field, how the volcano came up out of the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden it grew really big. And it's kind of like that. You know, I've had this dream about this area becoming volcanic again. But like I said, there was a volcano a millennium or however long ago there was, and it's a state park now because people go there to find diamonds. You know, Diamond State Park, I think it's called. I can't remember.
All right. Well, so, I mean, that's basically diamonds are carbon crystals and what we call crystals are quartz crystals. You know, it sounds like, and the thing about crystals is that they are formed in a very high pressure, high temperature environment like you'd find in a volcano. So it might be a thing. Deborah.
You know that lady, I can't remember her name, that does the starseed readings. She takes tours of people to Arkansas every year for the Palladian lineup, and they go to a crystal place because they feel that the crystals that are coming up from the ground there have a lot to do with the Palladians and Lemuria and possibly even Atlantis. And,
do you know what part of Arkansas that is?
No, I could look it up. So while we're talking, while you guys are talking, I can try to find out.
Cool. The lady you're talking about is Lavendar, and she actually commissioned a diver, because a lot of these caves are like submarine. They're underwater.
Yeah.
And she commissioned a diver to go and scoop up a whole bunch of really, really, really teeny tiny crystals, almost like sand. And then she stuck it in a box and she sent it to the pyramid, and each granule has been kind of, you know, picked up and then sent to the pyramid and charged up there. And then I think she sends them out and does various things with them, with her people.
Yeah, she's really into it. So while you guys keep talking, I'll go look and see if I can find what area. So continue on.
So meanwhile, go ahead.
JP, you originally announced a subject line, and refresh my memory, except it was something about, I don't know, healing, cure, or something.
I spoke with Mona earlier. Did you hear my show with Mona?
No.
All right. On Adventures of a Feral Hippie. She called me on the thing. She said, oh, do you want to come on the show? So I talk about my favorite subject, which is, the ancient trauma of the human race. Great subject, huh? But it's very relevant and it appears all sorts of, with all sorts of ramifications and, side effects, mainly being, human PTSD. But anyway, do go on.
Well, I was thinking you were talking about something about healing or whatever. Anyway, I it triggered my mind. Is the main reason I called in is about my dog that she's like infatuated. Became possessive of me, you know. It's like, you know, there's, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Red Dog, about a dog in Australia. You ever seen that one?
No, I don't think so. But your dog got obsessed with you.
Yeah, well,
got a crush on you.
There's another movie that starred Richard Greer, and it was about kind of, these were movies based off of real events. And then there was another one that Richard Greer played the actor in. It's about this guy in Japan where he went back and forth to work on a train. He came home and found this puppy and tried to find the owner, couldn't, and raised him. And then the dog followed him to the train station. And every single day that dog would go to the train station and see him off, and then go home, and then come back when he came back off the train station waiting for him, and the guy had a heart attack and passed away, and the dog, you know, went to the train station waiting for him, and he never showed up, and for 10 years after that, that dog kept going to that train station waiting for his master to come home, a real true story, and like the true story of Red Dog in Australia. Both those dogs in both those countries, they made a bronze statue of that dog. And the same thing is what I'm trying to say is if I should pass away before my dog does, I feel she would be just like that, because I can't even go to the bathroom without her following me, you know, and she's 4 years old now. But anyway, the thing that made me call in is, I don't know why I understood you talking about, I don't know if it was the word medicine or whatever it was. But anyway, this dog now is 4 years old. She's half Chihuahua, quarter Pomeranian, quarter Dachshund. And I picked her, the neighbor across the street down a little bit. That's where I got her from, and I picked her out of the litter before she even had her eyes open, and they were supposed to bring her over when she was like 6 weeks old, and they brought her over when she was like 5 weeks and a couple of days old, really, really little, and I was going to the bathroom one day, when she's probably just 6 weeks or just a little bit over 6 weeks, and she was just like really tiny, not much bigger than my hand, you know. And I was walking to the bathroom, and in my step walking, she ran up underneath my foot, following me, and I didn't know it, and I stepped down my entire body weight on top of her head. And from an animal that small and that much weight, you can imagine what it would do to him. I mean, I'm surprised
God.
He didn't kill her. I'm surprised he didn't kill her instantly. But, if you know anything about head trauma on a dog, you know, I tried to set her up, and she just fall over, and then with head trauma, they start drooling like crazy. And so my instant reaction was, I know a lot about the spice turmeric, as we know is a spice here in the U.S. And I knew in India they think of it more as a medicine first, and it's like a natural anti-inflammatory. So the first thing I did is I went and grabbed that bottle of turmeric, and I wet my finger and stuck it in there and put it in her mouth and just kept on doing that to make her ingest it. And I really think turmeric saved her life. And she's just as crazy wild as she was back then. I mean, that's why I named her Kaz, because she is so super energetic. That's why I named her Kaz, because she reminds me of that little tornado cartoon.
Oh, the Tasmanian devil,
character. Yeah.
So, did you, poor little thing. Did you break anything, or was it just like the shock of it?
No, I think what it was is an older dog that had that much weight put upon her head, it probably would have broke bones. But I think being she was so young and so small, you know how, you know, they say, you know, the bones are soft on a baby, and I think that's why she wasn't hurt permanently.
I see. Well, very interesting you should say that, because last week, guess what? I bought some turmeric. You know, because I've been moaning about my bloody back for the last 3 weeks, and like everybody, I gave some turmeric. And strangely enough, my ex-wife, who I see like, you know, maybe once a year, she turns up and she's got like 3 pills in a bottle. She said, I heard about your back. Take these. And they were, I got the box here. Solgar, full spectrum curcumin. I took one of those, and it was like, oh, that's nice. My back feels a little easier today. And I took a couple yesterday, and I have, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's stiff, but it's not painful. And so definitely the inflammation is going down.
It'll get better over time. It takes a while for herbs to really build up.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing about herbal treatments, is that people expect herbal treatments to work like, say, antibiotics. For instance, if you I had a tooth infection, you take antibiotics, and by the next day, although you're feeling a bit crap, it doesn't hurt anymore. But if you take tea tree and colloidal silver and all that stuff, it takes 2 or 3 days for the pain and the inflammation to go away. So that's why people, you know, it's very instant, the medicine fix, but it's not lasting healing. Go ahead, Darryl.
Well, from what I understand in India, they think of turmeric as a medicine first and a spice second, which is different here in the USA. And, you know, in the USA, they think of turmeric as a spice, period. No.
Yes, it's a curry. Turmeric. In fact, just earlier on, that's what I put in my curry, a nice teaspoonful of turmeric. And I've got it in all, and having it all forms. Go ahead.
Oh, that's a good story about your dog. I was listening while I was looking this up. Wow.
Yeah, so she must be tiny. Is it a she or he? Yeah, she must be really tiny if she's a cross between a Chihuahua or a Daxi and a what?
Right, half Chihuahua, quarter Pomeranian, and quarter Dachshund. Yeah, she's small.
Oh, are you getting pictures? You should send us some pictures.
JP, just look at my face page, me on my face page, and she's sitting on my shoulder.
No. How old is she now?
4 years.
And then when did this happen? Like, how long ago since she got all the way better?
She was like 6 or 7 weeks old when that happened.
Wow.
She was super tiny.
Oh. So she's been doing great then, and she's four. Oh, that's so awesome.
Well, it was like 2 days before she could drink on her own. We had to give her water to the messenger helper. And it was like 3 days before she could eat softened food after that happened.
Wow. Oh, well, I love stories like that. And miracles are more common than we even know, and that's definitely one. So that's great. Well, I found the place, if you want to know.
Yeah, go for it. Read up.
It took me a while. Okay, so she leads, this is Starseed Hotline, Lavendar, and she leads two Starseed quests, one on the spring equinox and one on the Palladian lineup, which is in May. And she goes to the areas around Hot Springs and Mount Ida. So is that anywhere near you?
No, that's south of me. That makes sense because Hot Springs probably isn't too far from where that volcano was.
See?
You know,
She says that Arkansas has the highest quality crystals on the planet, which is why the Atlanteans preferred them. And she believes just before the end, Atlanteans returned to Arkansas with the records of Atlantis to be coded and held within the crystals there. This sacred land is so powerfully charged that it activates starseed blood codings. I had a girlfriend that lived in Arkansas also, and she would go to some of these pools that had the crystals underneath, and she said she could really feel the energy. And it said Atlanteus, this is what she's saying. Atlanteus was a palladium project with many thousands of star seeds have Atlantean palladium connection. So just by being on this powerful land, it activates energies and star seeds like few other places on the planet. So that's why she goes there, and that's what she's about with those crystals. So you were right on with the volcano, and then you have the diamonds are near you, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, it's kind of strange when I look at it. It's like when you look at things that are meant to be, and I was born and raised in North Dakota, and while I was in the Army, my dad passed away, and they sold the farm, and my mom moved to Minnesota, and when I got out of the military, my plan was to move to Minnesota, and when I got out, and my brother, his wife, he married, which is from Texas, but she was living in Arkansas and around Fort Smith area. And I just planned on doing a little loop and stopping there and visiting him on the way back up north. And then he says, hey, Mama's going to come down here, and how about if we fly you up there and then you help her drive back down? And I did that. And then my brother up there had a brother-in-law that had a body shop and got this car that was a year old, and my mom had a little bitty tiny Dodge Colt car, and they were always afraid of her driving that, you know, because of not having a very good chance of surviving through an accident. And they say, hey, why don't you just stay up here and we'll fly her down, and when the car gets fixed, you can go down. And during all that time, what saved money I had, I kind of spent when I got back down to Arkansas and drove her car down there. Then I was didn't have the funds to go back up north, and I ended up living in Arkansas. And 2 years later, went in the Army again and got back out, and then moved up to Missouri, where my brother had moved to Missouri. And then the weirdest thing is I met this lady on the internet and moved back to Arkansas to be with her, and things went bad, and I've been here ever since. But
wow.
I mean, it's just like I keep getting drawn back down here to Arkansas. You know?
Yep.
So do you reckon you? Daryl, do you feel when people talk about Pleiades and all that stuff, do you feel like, oh yeah, that's home?
Say that again.
You know, when people talk about Pleiadians and things like that, because Deb is talking about Lavendar's Pleiadian lineup. Do you have a feel for it? Do you feel like
when they talk about Pleiadians? I do, and I have a very strong feeling, and I can't explain why.
Oh, that's why you're there. Possibly.
Sounds like
wow.
it. So
yep.
there you go. You never know, Daryl. You might start a new crystal business and crystal expert.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even have people come visit you. Let's all meet you, and then we'll go over to the volcano in the lavender. I mean, the crystal
yeah,
field.
Why not?
That would be great.
A strange thing is, couple strange things is, you know, my mind first woke up by first starting looking at Carrie Cassidy's stuff, you know, before this station even existed. And then one day she finally interviewed Sean and then talked him into doing a show on AFR and all that, and then followed them both here and all this stuff. And so I've believed in a long time, but I've never ever seen a UFO, which is kind of crazy, you know. It's really weird, you know. But I do believe, yes, yeah, I believe.
Because it's more than just like reading something, and then that's gonna. Yeah.
Right.
There's a deep feeling. Did you ever listen to my Lyran show, the Lyran Trauma show?
That was good. You should, Carol. Did you hear it, Daryl?
I don't think I have.
All right. If anything that I've ever said hasn't triggered you, this will. If you've got Pleiadian, you'll have Lyran, and that will be the trauma is what created the Pleiadians. It created everybody, really. Some people could say that it was an opposing force gives you greater strength. You could say that somehow the reptilian war has toughened up the Lyrans so that they're now fighting fit. But you don't want to mess with anyone. That's what happens, you know, that's what we created an entire warlike race to destroy whoever attacked us.
I think part of the Palladians are like that too. Like, you always think of gentle and artistic, but there is a segment of Palladians that are sort of warrior-like too.
So that
makes sense.
You know, JP, upon the introduction, when I mentioned my antennae long hair, something I didn't say I meant to say was I am also a Pisces like you.
No.
When's your birthday?
Being it's not an election year, the end of next month.
Oh, you're a leap baby.
Yeah, in an early time.
No, I said being just not an election year. Next month.
Oh, I see. So, you've just confused me. What is your birthday?
Once every 4 years, my birthday is not the end of the month.
Yeah. So what day and year? Is that the end of February or?
Yes, unless it's a presidential election year in the U.S.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Right. So
you're the 31st in the,
Your birthday is the same day as my son's then, who was born on the 29th of January. So,
No.
29th of February, I mean.
I said, the last day of the month, unless it's a presidential election year.
Oh, I see. So the 28th, and then, oh, you're getting me all confused. Yes. You make me have to, right. like, do calculations.
That always, I don't know why, but that always messes people up when I say it that way.
Yeah, because he's not what you expect. Obtuse. You're obtuse, Darryl. You're obtuse. Anyway, so, yeah, more Pisceans. It's, and I'll tell you, if you ever get anybody, it's like, what are Pisceans like? God, well, they're like everybody.
Confusing.
They're confusing because they're like everybody. They are like whoever you are in front of a Piscean, they'll be like
they're
you.
All 12 signs.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll be you. And so nobody can actually describe a Piscean because they're actually going to try and describe themselves. So you could say that we're just like mirrors.
If I had to say one word to describe a Pisces, I would say the word love.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, you know, I have Shari Edwards on.
The sound healing lady.
And we had a conversation a few months ago. It was on the air. And we were talking, like, what's the frequency of love? And somebody said, that's 528. And Shari piped up and said, no, that's the sound of devotion. The sound of love. And she then, instead of describing it as a frequency of sound, she described it as a color. And it's the magenta color, which beyond red and just coming back up, beyond blue and coming back up to red, you see.
Yep.
And she said, and it's the cusp of Aries and Pisces. And I was like, oh, does that mean, is that why people like the sound of my voice? Because that's when I'm born in the cusp, in that cuspid place, which is, as you say, Darryl, the frequency of love. So yes.
Yeah.
Did either one of you happen to hear, all it had been, early Saturday morning, Jer Bear's roundtable?
No, I missed that.
The subject was love, and the really weird thing about it is I don't remember if it was a day or 2 days before that, there was dead air, and Jer Bear came in and filled in for an hour of it before it was dead air, and he brought up that subject then about love and relationships and stuff, and I jumped in there with him, and we carried that on for an hour, and then last Friday night, Saturday morning, there was I can't remember who was there. I know there was two different women. I think one was from I'm not sure Tasmania or Australia or England. I can't remember. But the problem is at that time I was working and I could not jump in there and I wanted to come in there and kinda like to the rescue because they were just throwing questions at him one way, and he did really good. He was for a single man and having all these questions thrown at him about love and stuff, he did pretty good.
Oh, good.
So there you go. So, Darryl, you should do some reading. You should do some book reading or something like that and just like learn, you know, get into recording your voice.
Yeah. We got lots of chocolate.
See, that shut him up. That made him go all quiet.
I do have Sean's last book to read. I don't know. I haven't read it because I feel an incompleteness because I ordered. When he came out with the first hardcover book of Sands Times, I ordered three copies. Mm-hmm. You know, the hardcovers.
You did.
Wow. Yeah.
You must be a rich man. You're sitting on some wealth. Did you hear? He said like nearly two grand for each hardcover book.
Yeah, yes, I understand that. And that money means nothing to me. I lent one out to my son. I lent one out to my stepson, and the third one, you know, for myself. And we were supposed to do a little book club type reading. Is the whole purpose. I purchased three books, and they kind of fell out and didn't do it. And my stepson still lives in Missouri, and my son still lives in Missouri. My stepson lives just the other side of town from me, and I asked my stepson, you know, I'd like to take that book and let someone else read it, and so I lent it to someone at work, and they got fired, and that's been like over a year and a half ago, and I ain't seen the book or her since. I told my son, you know, I'd like to have that book if you're not going to read it and let somebody else read it. And he says, no, that's my book now, you know. And we kind of had a little bit of falling out.
Oh, don't fall out over a book. But there you go. So the thing is that once you read it, it's like you can't put the damn thing down. You just can't put it down.
That's what John even says.
Exactly. So I only got one copy left, and I don't really want to lend out. So I went ahead and ordered his newest book, and like the same thing, I ordered three copies of it, and I also ordered the first book, which is now split into two books. So, you know, so I ordered five books altogether, and I got the one and two, and I got one copy of three all shipped at the same time, but I never did receive the other two. And I ordered it through email account that I had been using since 2000, and I cannot get into the account no more. So therefore, I cannot get the numbers of the order.
Get in touch with Melissa.
Show him,
Daryl, just get in touch with Sean and Melissa. They'll sort you out. You know, if you've paid them money and they've got, you know, it's just to get your address and they'll send it to you. He may even send it to your tax per queue.
I no longer have the proof of ordering because it was through PayPal and the numbers of the order was on that email and I cannot access it no more.
But Jamie has the record of it.
It don't really truly tell you the truth. It don't matter if I ever get those other two books again, but I just like to see the truth put out there. What really mattered to me is getting that first book one and two, and I took that book one and I lent it to this guy at work, and he's read that first book and his mind has been blown and it's really waking him up, and I'm really happy to see that word go out there.
Excellent. You actually got someone to read it. Now that is like you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So,
right.
But have you read
it? Yeah, which is book one, yeah.
Yeah. Have you read it?
Book one, too, yeah. I read them in the hardcover, and yeah, you got to use glasses because it's pretty small print.
Oh, Jesus. I had to, I tell you. I used not only reading glasses, but I had my regular glasses, and I put the reading glasses on that, and I had a floodlight behind me so that it would illuminate the page, so I didn't strain my eyes, and I was like that for 3 days. Yeah, pile of cushions and left me in the blanket and everything. You know. I didn't eat.
I'm kind of interested in how thick that book would be if it would have been normal print.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, these would be massive volumes, two massive volumes. So, book three is quite interesting. Things are different. We meet, you know, Ted moves on, or he's preparing to move on by, you know, creating new positions and, you know, but,
I ordered it the 1st of August, and I still have not read it yet.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, you've got something good to look forward to. That would be great. Where are we? 41. So, meanwhile, we were at Crystal's, and what was that? Somebody had garnets. Somebody was talking about garnets. I think that was Karen in the chat room. Has got, like, garnet sand. Like I was saying about the crust. So, listen, I wanna have a bit of fun. This was sent to us from by Jeff in Vilnius, but it's essentially something that's been going on for several years. It's an old thing, and it's what happens when two Scottish men. So if you could, I don't know if you've got mutes on your telephones, both of you, but if you could mute the telephone, because this might get a bit crazy. This is what happens when you put Scottish men from Glasgow into a voice recognition elevator.
What's the buttons?
No, they installed voice recognition technology in us, left the head of it us.
Voice recognition technology? In a lift? In Scotland? You ever tried voice recognition technology?
No.
They don't do Scottish accents.
11.
Could you please repeat that?
11.
11. 11.
11.
Could you please repeat that?
11.
Whose idea was this? You need to try an American accent. 11. 11.
That sounds Irish, not American.
No, doesn't it? 11.
Where in America is that? Dublin.
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat that?
Try an English accent, right? 11. 11.
You for the same part of England as Dick Van Dyke?
Listen, you're saying smart ass.
Please speak slowly and clearly.
Smart ass.
11.
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat that?
11. If you don't understand the lingo, away back came to your own country.
Ooh. Is that talk now, is it? Away back to your own country.
Oh, don't start, Mr. Bleeding Heart. How can you be racist to a lift?
Please speak slowly and clearly.
11. 11. 11. 11.
You're just saying it the same way.
I want to keep saying it until I understand Scottish, all right? 11. 11. 11. 11.
I'll just take it anywhere you count.
This is a voice-activated elevator. Please state which floor you would like to go to in a clear and calm manner.
Calm. Calm. Where's that coming from? Why is it telling people to be calm?
Because they knew they'd be selling us to Scottish people who'd be going out for months at it.
You have not selected a floor.
Aye, we have! 11!
If you would like to get out of the elevator without selecting a floor, simply say, open the doors, please.
Please? Please? Suck my wallet.
What did you just say, please?
I'm not begging that for nothing.
Open the doors, please.
Please. Pathetic.
Please remain calm.
Oh, you went up tonight. Get up there. Hey, just wait for it to speak.
You have not selected a floor.
Ah, abuse your cow. You don't answer these doors. I'm going to come to America. I'm going to find whatever desperate actress gave you a voice. And I'm going to go in an electric chair for you.
Scotland, you bastard.
Scotland.
Scotland.
Scotland. Freedom.
Freedom. Going up.
So there you go.
OMG.
JP, that resonates with me so, so very much because once a month I have one of my bills. I do most of them over the phone now. And one of them has switched to voice recognition. And it never, ever recognizes my voice. And I got to go through so much stuff to be able to speak to a person who does recognize my voice. Over.
So, yeah. So what do you think, Deb?
I'm glad I was on mute. That was great. Especially near the end when they got set up. 11, 11, please.
Away, get away. Very funny, very funny. So that's Glasgow. I don't live near Glasgow. People from Glasgow are called Glaswegians. And, in the region that I live, Glaswegians are known as Ouijis. You didn't want any Ouijis down. Anyway, so, kind of like that. But it's a completely different language. It's not English. It's not English.
Right.
You heard him say, something very quickly in the middle of that sketch. And he was using a proper, this is the proper dialect, you know.
British.
Scottish. No, it's Scottish dialect.
It's
not English. It's like,
no.
It's a sort of a Gaelic brogue. You know, so instead of, go away, what was it? Go back to your own country. It's away you go for your own land or something like that. You know, so it's like very different way of speaking.
The only reason I can keep up on the dialects, I used to rent a chair where I did hair in the back of an Irish English barbershop, but we had all Scottish, English, Irish coming through to the front part. It was a barbershop with a bar so they could have a beer when they got their hair cut.
A barbershop with a bar. Where the heck was that?
Wasn't that awesome? In Fort Lauderdale, what I used to call Fort Lickerdale.
Fort Lickerdale, exactly.
And so they would come in, but they only had a 2-drink limit because if they got drunk, then the owner would be responsible because it wasn't truly a bar with a liquor license. So it was this weird thing that they'd come in, sit at the bar, wait for the haircut, have a drink, watch soccer or whatever the hell it was. And then the restroom was back in my part, which was like a normal, you know, kind of hair salon thing in the back. And so they'd have to come. So I caught all the dialects, you know, and then by the time I got over to Scotland, it was easy for me to pick up, you know, but I can't get the Welsh though. The Welsh is still some of that. I'm like, I can't understand that yet. But anyway,
again, these languages that they have a rhythm. You say accent, right?
Yeah.
The word accent is a musical term to say, you know, if you're doing an accent, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2. That's an accent. That's what the one. The,
that's
so,
so Jamaica
for instance,
too,
yeah, everybody's got a rhythm of how they speak. Mm-hmm. So for instance, because I was talking about stars yesterday and about the name Aldebaran.
Right. Yes.
Because people say Aldebaran.
Right.
Yeah. But Al means the. It's like saying the United States. I suppose in a way, yeah. Are you the, you know, it's like the Sean. But, it's a thing. It's just, I don't know what the word is, a prefix. So when you describe, so here's, like, for instance, the word influence. So mm-hmm. some people say influence, you know, to make it sound like fluency, or they say influence.
Influence. They put a different.
Yeah.
What do they call that? Like a different something.
That's
on it.
Emphasis. Emphasis.
Yes, that's it.
Emphasis. Yeah. And repetitive influence is accent.
Okay.
You see, so, you know, so it's the rhythm that people speak.
And some languages, some whatever dialects, like you said, it's almost like they talk backward. I tend to do that sometimes, and I think, why? I put the words in a different order, and it sounds different, but it means the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're going to go back to their home country, or like there's all different ways to manipulate the language or how it comes out, but it'll mean similar things. Yeah, that's interesting.
Sometimes the hardest thing, for instance, I listen to people from Australia and here and there and people talk with a very heavy accent, but I understand, but you know, some of the hardest accents for me to understand is people here in the U.S. that live in the deep South and were born and raised out in the middle of nowhere have such a heavy accent. I can't hardly understand. I mean, if you know people from Louisiana that have a really, really heavy Cajun accent, which is really hard for a lot of people to understand, well, I can understand that better than that deep South in the middle of nowhere.
Like Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. Like, I know when we used to go through parts of Georgia when I was young and we'd stop in a restaurant, and I was young, you know, so I'd never heard that. I'm like, Mom, what did she say? Yeah, it is a little difficult. Some areas are more. And don't you say that about England too, JP?
Highly dense with accents. You know, you may travel 50 miles to get a different accent in the States, but sometimes you get like 200 yards, you know, in Scotland, you know, because it's like a tiny little clumpage, you know, tiny little clans.
Right.
You've got more space, so the clans expand.
And they've probably been there a lot longer in that area with that dialect.
Do you know what's really funny? Do you know, here's the weirdest thing. All right, so I used to go down to Glasgow to a place called Paisley, which is even more like if you took that accent and then made it even more it's got, you know, tweaked it up even more. What was strange is that anywhere else I couldn't imitate the accent. But as soon as I set foot on the land,
the accent
became very easy.
Wow.
All right. So here's another thing.
That's interesting.
Here's another
thing.
As the sun rises over Scotland, blackbirds begin to sing.
Oh, I love it. Just like the sun.
All over Scotland, as the sun rises, the blackbirds start their song. And in each different area, they have a different song.
Yep. Supposedly they're holding, I don't know if people believe this, but I really always been attuned to birds, and their song is almost what's keeping some of this creation going, I feel. They're really important. I mean, everything here is important, but yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard that.
That reminds me of, I think it was 2 years ago. I love sitting out under the shade tree in my backyard. Wow. I got like a 6-foot privacy fence around my backyard. And I got this old, like the back end of a pickup trailer that pickup bed, you know, with a camper shell on top of it. And inside of it, I keep firewood, you know, for, I don't buy jar coal. I just take wood and use it to do a barbecue with. And on top of that camper shell, I put like the top side of an old washing machine that broke down and turned upside down, put it up there, and for, you know, as support for a lawn chair sitting on top of it, which gets me well above the top of the fence and looking around and relaxing. And my dog, she would be able to jump up on top, and come up there and be with me. Yeah, the one I almost killed, right? And I would hear these, I'm not sure if they're mourning doves, but they make a sound like this. They go, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo. And you could do the same thing and call out to it really loud, because, you know, they would call back and forth to each other.
Right.
And so if you called that out, they would respond. And I'm up there on top of there, and I'm doing that, and I'm going, ha-hoo, ha-hoo, and I'm doing it really loud, you know. And I didn't know, but my neighbor, two houses down, he said, what are you doing? So I'm calling to the board birds, you know. And he just like looked at me like I was crazy, you know.
Okay, don't go away. We'll be back after this little break. Hello. Yeah, here we are. So back to There you go. I've just been doing all the stoves, and I hope I haven't got like carbon all over my fingers. I have two stoves, two wood stoves, and in the small amount of time that I get between these, you know, in this break, I rush around, I schlep in buckets of coal and bags of wood, literally, you know, proper wood and coal and spade, and then I have to, like, I load all the stoves, and the room's full of smoke and soot and stuff, and then I thought, just to top it off, I'll just put on some incense. So I've just lit a frankincense. So not only is the room full of smoke, it's also full of incense. So I really should get the laser on, because, you know, that's the time when you want lasers if you've got a smoky room. Go ahead, Daryl.
You know, carbon has some very interesting properties, you know, especially when it comes to resistors, you know.
Tell us more.
Over.
I wonder. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, carbon is like a basic, very basic something that we've been using, and it's very, I don't want to use the word incorporated, but a different word meaning this, basically the same thing in electronics. And people do not understand that, you know, when carbon heats up, it conducts electricity more than it does when it's colder. And as for instance, I've seen where I'll get electronic stuff like a TV or something that's been in a house fire, and the fire starts slowly, and there was like really bad smoke, and most everything was ruined by the smoke, and the most important thing I saw was just the same thing as if you have electronics that has been in a flood, the first thing you need to do is you need to clean those motherboards and stuff, you know. You need to eliminate all that foreign material off there, and carbon conducts electricity like crazy, so therefore it's most important to get all that carbon off the back of that circuit board, and as long as you don't get no power, and that's like if you drop your cell phone in a toilet, the first thing you want to do is take that battery out. Or
absolutely, you got take the battery out. Go ahead, Deb.
I've got two comments. The first thing, I don't know if this means anything, and I could be totally wrong, but when I thought about this, the carbon or the smoke, for some reason the word sulfur came in my mind. So you may have an abundance of sulfur in your system. I'm not sure. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. And then the second thing I thought is the frankincense is excellent for so many things, as I'm sure you know. I've been using the essential oil of it and geranium to get over the adrenal fatigue, and it's really helped. So, but does the smoke bother your lungs? Not alone your motherboard, but how about your motherboard, your human one?
my mother used to get bored with me.
Stop.
Go out and play. No, I like it in here. No, go out. No, but we have. Where are we? We're going to move.
Lay down on the couch and tell me more about it.
Yeah, tell me all about your mother. Oh wow! Wouldn't you love to hear Sean's? Wouldn't you love to hear it?
Oh my God! Love
tell me about
story.
Your mother. Yeah. Oh wow! Yeah.
Get anyway, it. Back to the sulfur and the smoke and the
sulfur. That's interesting. Sulfur.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know.
You want to turn me into a dynamite? You know, there's not enough salt. They get some saltpeter and some sulfur. Oh, I shouldn't really say how. It's not dynamite. It's gunpowder anyway. Those, you know, if you assemble those ingredients that I've just spoken about, that I'm not going to say how to make gunpowder. That's how you make gunpowder. Don't tell Madonna.
That's to our Wild West connection then. That's what it is.
Well, sulfur goes on into matches, and they're from,
oh,
from matches.
Right.
Yeah, from matches we can transcend into matchstick men, you know.
I wouldn't mind losing a bit of weight, but that might be a bit ridiculous.
Okay, we're out of control. JP, lead us back to normalcy.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm here with you every step of the way. So yeah, what else has been going on? It's the, you know, there's other things in the world besides your elections. I know it seems like it's the only thing that's ever happened in, for the last 4 months, but you know, out here.
When you don't have a TV, you don't even know. It's beautiful. But yeah, I know there's a lot of weather things too, a lot everywhere.
Isn't it? Isn't it? There's a lot of space weather as well. I mean, let me just go and check the space weather.
Yes.
Just looking at that, caught my eye. You know, we haven't seen George Soros for a few weeks, and then suddenly he comes back and he's looking like he's about 65, not 95 or however old he was. So either he's been time regressed in the last few weeks, or they've just wheeled out a new clone. They don't last long. I think these clones age really quickly.
Yeah, or he had a baby transfusion, you know.
Oh yeah, he's drank a few liquidized babies. Yeah, lovely guy. Yeah, drinks them live. He likes them live. Yeah. Keeps it fresh. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, where'd you like them? Fresh ground? So, there's Soros, and it's really nice to see the end of the cabal, though, isn't it? Brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Come on, let's like, if this was a live show, it's really, come on. Yeah. It's really good to see the end of the cabal, you know. There we go.
I kind of get a question. We've been listening to how, the part of space from what I understand, we're on the very end of the tail arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're at so far out on that tail that we're fixing to be flung off from our galaxy and go spinning up off into space, right? And we're going through this part of space that is like a very, very highly energetic. Okay, I'm getting tongue twisted. Okay,
energetic. I'll say it for you. Energetic.
Right. And I haven't heard anything about that particular type of energy that we're going through, of what we're going through. And I'm trying to wonder if we haven't heard about it lately is because it is so much more energized. And is that why people are getting so freaking crazy lately?
Correct. I think when I first started doing journeys with JP, I used to talk about this thing that I called the wave or the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 2011, 2012. And I've been talking about it, and I haven't spoken much about it really since, because we haven't heard much about it in the news. However, we've been knowing it's coming. We knew it was coming sometime. I thought it was going to be there in 2012, but it's, you know, apparently they shifted the timetable 4 years. That's what screwed everybody up. That, you know, the year we've just had, that was 2012. This is 2013, you know, or whatever, you know, however you might calculate it. However, the wave is really high energies. Now, again, I was talking with Mona about like, energetic levels. So for instance, you have your physical body. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's reflecting light that is in the visible spectrum. But you have energetic bodies which emit and reflect light in other spectrums, in the ultraviolet spectrum, you know, beyond the rainbow of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, beyond violet. They call it ultraviolet. Right. And they just call it UVA, UVB, UVC. But actually what they're talking about is ultra red, ultra green, ultra blue. It's an octave above what we have.
Okay.
So, and then of course below that you have infra blue, infra green, and infrared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the octave below the frequency of visible light. Now,
right.
What if we had material bodies that were in that light spectrum, or an analogous light, an analogous spectrum of matter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So imagine octaves of matter. Like one octave of matter would be solid, another octave of matter would be liquid, another octave would be gaseous.
Right.
You get me?
That's actually happens. Yes.
Yeah. So that's how it works. It's the frequency of the heat and the energetic level. So now back to the wave. Mm-hmm. What I believe the wave is galactically, because galactics are so huge, they'll be talking on frequencies of light that are probably down in the red zones.
Okay.
You know, but also potentially it's just like an information pulse, like, you know, imagine, you know, those, QR codes that you see all over the place that you've snapped with your mobile phone and it takes you to a website. Yeah. It's a little, it's a square with black and white, squares in it.
Okay.
It's like a kind of, it's a two-dimensional barcode. You know, barcode is a single number.
Oh, barcode.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
part
it's called a QR code, okay. Which is a square barcode, and it scans, you know,
okay.
it's more
sophisticated. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can hit it with your phone and then get information.
Correct. Now, imagine, imagine the sky being filled with that.
I bet it is.
That it's, you know, that there's a huge screen full of information that if you had the right smartphone, you could actually download and condense into your own knowingness.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what's happening. Except you don't need a smartphone. You're already doing it. And that's what the wave is. It's information, but it's like, imagine if you had an internet cable that, you know, just was like, so long that it had to, you know, had to have thousands of volts, millions of volts to push it down the wire.
Right.
Now imagine it not having the wire and it's just sending a vast amount of information, but because it's got so much energy that you could even use the energy if you had no, you know, had no use for the data, you could still use the energy to evolve. And that's basically what it is. It's like a huge data download, energetic download, battery recharge, credit recharge, you know, everything. Imagine you have your TV, your internet, your mobile phone, all charged up. You never have to plug it in again. And it's, paid for 50 million years.
Well, that's why they say we're going to hopefully go to breatharianism, and also that's why a lot of people are healing spontaneously. But also, if you're not in the right frequency, I don't say right, if you're not in a certain frequency, it can fry your nervous system. So it's really interesting how each human body and how parts of the planet and even animals are dealing with these frequencies. But they never talk about that much. They'll just talk about, oh, how it's causing the auroras and blah, blah, blah. But it's doing a lot to all of us. It's kind of exciting.
I just want to throw 2 points out there real quick. The first point is, when it comes to free energy and all this and about harnessing the space of, you know, the energy is floating around the space and I get kind of like a negative feeling on this subject of it being that if we all harness into it, it would disrupt it and it would cause catastrophic changes in the earth and mess stuff up. But okay, I lost my train of thought.
I hate that when it happens. You'll get it back. It'll come back. You feel negative. You don't feel good when you hear that, so you don't believe that it's necessarily. I think it's good, but I think it can affect you.
It's like I feel there's part of it that's true, but it's not completely.
Right. It's not going to be the total cataclysm or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And you had two parts, so you can't remember the other part. What else you were going to say that or something else.
No, if we go back to the last subject, I'll probably remember.
All right, it'll come back in. Just yell when it comes back in.
All right. Well, I've completely forgotten what I was talking about because people are asking me about what's the next show along, you know. And so I'm
The energy coming from the
wave.
And the
wave. All right. So here's the thing. On the 26th, Boxing Day, one of those waves hit our planet.
I know.
Down, down, down. Hang on, where's the thing?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. The ribbon. Or one of the edges of the front of the wave front. They're like pre-waves. They've been coming. In the last year, they've been coming. And what happens every time... now, luckily, Boxing Day was a bank holiday, and not so many people were out, and it wasn't so... All right, but do people work on Boxing Day, generally?
Here?
Yeah, is it like...
It depends if they're on Christmas vacation or not.
Right, you see, there's a lot of people on vacation, so that's fine.
Boxing Day here, right?
Okay, but what I'm saying is it was during a place where, you know, people were not in a rush hour, you know?
Right.
So imagine now...
Oh.
It was so now, it's now got all right. It's going to be more intense. The next wave is going to be more intense. The next wave is going to, activate our DNA. Right.
I'm so excited.
Which is great, but.
I know.
But if you don't know what's going on.
Right.
And you start getting telepathic.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's ever seen the little TV series called The Tomorrow People, and the first episode of that was the awakening, the telepathic awakening of a young person. And basically they were sitting, you know, standing around in the market, and suddenly they could hear everybody's voices, and they just collapsed.
They think they're going crazy.
Yeah, just collapsed in the street with the overwhelm of it.
Yeah.
And so that was their mission. They, you know, they'd go and find that person and grab them and teleport back into the command room so that they can introduce the new character. So anyway, that's the Tomorrow People, and that was about children. Basically, the superpowers that we're all developing, DNA. So I don't know if anybody's noticed, but you may have become more psychic in the last few weeks. You may find yourself moving into the right place at the right time, and suddenly the right thing happens. Suddenly you find you're voting for the right person who wins the election. Oh, wow. And he's not a terrible man.
Well, you manifest quick.
You manifest real quick. Go ahead, Darryl.
And that's so weird because I've been seeing these, news posts recently about the junk DNA. It's not junk I mean, it's like there's certain things, of our awakening. It's like there's certain subjects and stuff we've been put on hold, and it's like, okay, you are not allowed to go there just yet. And it's like we're coming into this spot right now in this time continuum of, okay, it's time to wake up. And then the first thing you notice of this waking up moment is people starting to talk about things that you dared not talk about in the past.
Right.
And in fact, you know, just to give you an example, is this person at work, you know, the janitor guy, you know, takes care of stuff, and I because of my particular job, I had to do at work. I went to work. I went to lunch at an hour after everybody else did, and I was playing over my phone Revolution Radio because like Jer Bear would be playing these clips from these YouTube clips or whatever. I mean, really interesting stuff, and I'd be playing them over the speaker on my cell phone so this guy could hear it. And there was only one other person that had to take their lunch 1 hour later, like me, and she complained, and I was told that you no longer could wear earbuds. I mean, you had to wear earbuds. You could no longer play on your phone. Right. And then there wasn't like a month after that or two, a mad painter did a little contest on giving a coffee cup away if people could be the first one to respond in chat on the name of a song. And I won it. And after that, I proudly took that cup and I sat it on the counter for everyone to see. Revolution Radio. Over.
Aww. Well, you know, it's like we're being activated, reactivated to reach our highest potential, which we've had, but it's all been shut down. And I really feel these waves are coming in to reactivate us and to put us back maybe on an original template or something so that all our abilities do come back. But yeah, if you don't understand what's going on, it's going to freak a lot of people out.
Yeah, and I believe a part of that reactivation is something that we lost a millennium ago. Like I talked to, a Mad Painter's show, I believe it was. I talked on it about how our abilities to communicate each other with our mind, and we did not use voice boxes, and we're finally getting close to going back when there will be no more lies, because you'll know when somebody's lying instantly because you can hear them through their thoughts.
Yeah, that's why telepathic can come back in, because it can't come back in until we're really transparent and authentic. And so you can't hide anymore. No one can hide anymore. And that is awesome to me. Anyway.
Meanwhile. So I don't know. I'm talking about schedules at bloody Wolfsburg Radio. They're all talking about schedules. When is such and such? When's Mr. F-bomb, our resident Tourette's master, Thomas Sheridan? He is always, if we played drinking games wherever he said the F word, we'd be drunk in the first 2 minutes. It's wonderful. So that's so if anybody loves hearing an Irishman just speak freely, that's the way. Come and listen to Wolf Spirit Radio on a Thursday. So telepathy, right? So here's the thing, you know, we're all going to be developing more and more telepathy. Okay. So what does that mean? How does that, like you say, it's going to be harder for people to lie anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And so, this thing, all right, so let's just talk about, I really want to nail it down because it annoys me. It's not cognitive dissidence.
Mm-hmm.
A dissident is somebody, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who criticized his estate, right? That's what a dissident is.
That criticized what now?
Who criticized the state. Yeah.
That's
Yeah? It's a communist term, isn't it? But anyway, that's a political term. But a dissonance, which is right, you got resonance and dissonance, right? The opposite of resonance is dissonance, right?
Okay.
Things resound or they're discordant, resonant or dissonant or discordant, right? Same thing.
Okay.
So here's the thing: cognitive dissonance. Again, going back to Shari Edwards' work.
Mm-hmm.
Cognitive, now I'm going to say it. You might not understand what I mean, but I'm going to say it. And then, cognitive dissonance is harmonic resonance, and harmonic dissonance is cognitive resonance.
Really?
Yeah, seems that
way. It seems backward.
It seems backward, but the world is backward.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what Shari's found is that there's a particular harmonic which is called the tritone, or the flattened fifth, or the reciprocal frequency. If it was in the color wheel, it would be the opposite. So say you've got a color wheel of 12.
Opposites. Yes.
Yeah?
Right.
So you've got your color wheel of 12 and you have, blue, right?
Yes.
And opposite the blue would be orange.
Oh, okay. It's orange, you're right. It's orange.
It's whatever would be the negative. You know, if you saw the colors and then you shut the picture off and saw white, you'd see the negative of it. And you'd see these reciprocal colors. Okay, so sound wise, if you use the reciprocal frequency, now this harmonic is used in heavy metal, right? That's the flat and fifth. Yeah, that's a flat and fifth. That's amazing. I can sing a flat and fifth. Anyway, I'm pretty impressed. So anyway, if somebody is speaking in da and they're all the time, then what you do is you apply the nah to be the it will calm it down. So for instance, if I've got if I've got too much of a frequency, I give the opposite of that frequency and it reduces the intensity of the original frequency.
Poles are the magnets that attract, and maybe why opposites attract.
Yeah.
So the dissonance, that's how the dissonance heals or helps. Which I never thought of it like that.
Huh. So it's kind of like people see the world as black and white when in reality it's white and black. I mean, black and white being white and black.
And you need both of them to make the whole. That's all it
is. To balance, yes. Balance.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is that now let's talk about balance because people think they know what opposite means.
Right.
You know, some people think, well, if that person's hating, how do I balance that? Well, I love them. Well, that doesn't work. You know, you just get beaten up. You just get your head kicked in, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like you cannot have the light without the dark.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Shadow.
You won't know the difference. It's all about knowing the contrast.
Right. And you know? It's discernment, not judgment.
Yeah.
But the contrast. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference between discernment and judgment, right? It's a really good thing. No, it's really good to define these things because people think they know what they're talking about.
I looked it up because me and my boyfriend used to fight over this a lot. Mm-hmm. And because he's always uses that word judgment, which doesn't even come in my mind. But I said discernment, because I've had to learn it, is clear seeing.
Yeah.
And judgment is making something right or wrong.
Correct.
But if you're seeing something as it is, you're not necessarily judging it right or wrong. You're just saying, this is what I see.
Exactly.
Discernment.
Exactly.
To be aware.
Yeah.
But a lot of people confuse the two things.
Exactly. It's the, for instance, here's another example of discernment is, I'm listening to, some notes, some music. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to a chord. I'm saying, I can hear that's a minor chord from its harmonics. I can now judge that against this key here. Bing. All right. Yeah, that's a B flat. That's discernment. There's no judgment. There's no this. Oh, that's a terrible chord. But if I were to, if somebody says,
it just is.
Yeah. And, but it's, here's the difference. If I was judging that, somebody would play that chord and they, oh, that sounds awful. Oh, turn that off. That's rubbish. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or even worse, you're such a rubbish musician.
Right.
That's judgment.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a crap musician. You'll never be a musician. You know, all that stuff. That's judgment.
Yep.
So we see the difference between discernment and judgment being the difference between recognizing what is what, and the difference between, you know, it's not the opposite. Like I said, the opposite of discernment is not judgment. Because you know, because judgment is a whole other realm of stupid. I was going to say f ups. Yes, God, yeah. Because that. I mean, it's one of my bugbears. Because one of the things that people mess themselves up, they do themselves a disservice by judging instead of discerning.
Yep, and then most people judge themselves without even realizing it, because then if they go to the negative in the discernment with someone else, they're really just judging themselves in a weird way, and then they're mad at themselves. You know, whenever you walk away from a situation, if you have a lower feeling or energy, that's on you. Mm. And so whatever you affected the other person or not, you're going to carry that bad feeling. So that's always when I can tell whether I need to look at something or make an apology to a person. You'll always know inside if you trust the feeling of what just happened. You know, like if you get angry and start to go into judgment, you're going to feel it. The other person will too, but you will walk away knowing that didn't go quite right, and then look at it. But don't judge yourself forever. Just do the right thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't do that.
Right. Yeah. So, well, let's look at ourselves, mm-hmm. because this is the mm-hmm. journey. This is Journeys with JP, and the journey is inward. The journey is about learning yeah. who we are and, you know, what it's all about. And, you know, by looking within, we can see. So let's look at ourselves when we think we're discerning. And when uh-huh. we think we're, and when we convince ourselves that we're not judging.
Right.
All right.
But you feel it. If you, right?
Well, okay. So what does judgment feel like to you?
Not pleasant. Not loving.
Yeah, but when that's applied to you, right? But mm-hmm. if you were judging, you get a hit from it.
You get righteous.
Yeah, you get a righteous little hit. It's not loving, but you get a pleasure from it. And this is the thing.
Yeah, you get a charge, but the lower energy charge of it, the righteousness or the anger or the, ha-ha, I got you, or whatever the hell you get. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still not a happy feeling, but some people, they can't tell the difference, and they feel the feeling, and then their mind takes over and justifies everything they did and think, because they don't step back and take a look at, you know, what happened there. And we're all the same in a weird way. I mean, you know, so really it just always comes back on us.
So was that about your sister, Deb?
Was that by my what?
I was just going to say, was that energy about your sister? I could feel something building up there.
But, oh, no, my boyfriend. We're still together. We had 10 months, but we've worked it all out. We've come to a really good place, which is shocking to me. And we've both grown and learned a lot, but we have a lot of practice at all of this.
Daryl.
What I was going to say is that feeling is like I can't speak as far as the female side, but the male side
right.
is like when there's a whole bunch of testosterone involved, and then you are being confirmational and you get out there and you boast out what it is, and then let's say you're right, and then the acknowledgement you get and you back off and you just like push your chest out, the feeling you get at that particular time when you're pushing your chest out, that feeling, that right there, that's what I'm talking about. Over.
Yeah, ego fulfillment. But it can clear the air, and it is good to give everybody a chance to air out their stuff, but then hopefully come back to a neutral period. But it may not. I think guys may be better at that, but a lot of times you have to step away even for a day, and then sides will go, oh.
Yeah. It's just rejoicing in the pride is
you're
what
right.
I'm talking about.
You do. Yeah. Yep.
So let's have a look at that. This is now they did some studies about this, about people. It's about clicking away. You know, when clicking away. If you're looking through some news article or something and you disagree with it, or you think it's crap, they discovered. Scientists discovered by hooking people up to monitors that every time they clicked away from something that they thought was crap, they got a little buzz from, a little endorphin rush. Isn't that interesting, yeah, brothers and sisters? So then
you
then take that into a forum and you get somebody who's really hating on someone.
Mm-hmm.
They get an endorphin rush.
Yeah, because I see that even in the chat, even in nice chats, where people start, if they think, you know, I love people that just knock everything. You know, they got to, like, everything. Oh, well, I don't know if I believe in that. Oh, you know, they just, so they must be getting a charge, too, when they, you know, just voicing their opinion or, but it's kind, I've always, that's curious. Okay. So now how does that happen and why does it happen? And are we trained that way or is that natural or what? That's interesting.
Well, it's a bit. It's one of these things that
It's negative reinforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can imagine that this is built into the system. This is built into our society, what people call society.
I know it.
But it's actually our reptilian-based Babylonian Orion Empire system that keeps us all in money slavery.
Control.
Yeah, well, it's money. You know, money, the whole thing about money and being the slave of money. And it is possible to move away from it. And it is possible to, you've got to start. You've got to start somewhere.
And
start by manifesting.
You positive reinforce. So most people call them, Pollyanna. I get called that a lot. I think I'm realistic, but I'm just choosing a positive world. I'm choosing what I want and I'm choosing to live what I want instead of fighting everything that I think is wrong. I'm choosing to, you know,
do you know the difference?
What?
Hypoxia or
what's
hyperoxia? If you put oxygen into your dreams, they will manifest. If you don't, they will just
yeah,
be crushed under the weight.
And
they are, as you say, Pollyanna is what we'd call a deluded. Yeah, somebody suffering from delusions.
But that's because the people that are negative programmed are the delusional. But that's okay,
because
it's just polarized and just, that's interesting, though, about them getting a charge out of doing that. That makes sense, then, why it's hard for them to stop or even see it or change course.
Because it's part of what makes them happy. It makes me happy to criticize you on a chat room. It makes me happy to correct your grammar.
Right.
You know, all these, you know, it's basically anytime you get to say you're wrong, right? You get a buzz. You get a buzz from it.
Oh, wow.
And some people have such little self-esteem, that's the only energy they ever get.
Right.
And that's why they end up haters. It's a bad road. It's a bad road and it's an addiction and it's addictive complex. And, you know, like, you can see how many people are addicted to it.
It keeps their joy.
It's not a joyful thing at all. It's just, I'm stealing a bit of your energy because I can. It's just pecking away at someone.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, thanks for sharing that. I hadn't heard that study or that there's actually an endorphin rush that happens. So that's interesting. I'm going to think and look into that a little further. I find that really. Okay. What else do we have? Or where do you want to go?
That earns a fascinating.
How much time do we have?
We got 20. So, but, you know, this is a very interesting thing. Why do people get, you know, and this is the buzz. You know, people say, oh, they must get some buzz out of being like that. Well, they do.
Right.
You know, to be right. You know, to be right. It's like, you know, the most disgusting feeling is somebody being self-righteous at you.
Right.
Especially if they are just as corrupt or even more corrupt. But it's just, it's just the most disgusting thing to observe. Self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. I think I'm right. That's self-righteous. That's what self-righteous means. I think I'm right. And therefore you're wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. So already you're in a place of, you know, there's never going to be any equity or a feeling of heart or love because you're already, a wrong person. You have to create, you have to prove yourself right.
Right.
You know, guilty until
you're
proven innocent.
And you're never going to hear the other side.
No.
There's never going to be any real communication.
No. So welcome to all my relationships. No.
Welcome to a few of mine. They're a lot better lately.
Yes, indeed. Mine too. They've been a lot better. So Daryl, what do you think?
Oh, we lost Daryl.
Did we? Oh no, he's still there.
Okay, good.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Any
Daryl? Yeah, Daryl had a little problem with trying to hit unmute.
Go ahead.
I need to ponder on that for a while. Okay.
Me too.
Have you felt yourself? I mean, I'm gonna say, I've felt it, you know.
Mm-hmm,
when you see somebody spelling something wrong that you know how it's spelt right, isn't there that little grammar Nazi? Welcome, brothers and sisters, to your own inner grammar Nazi. You have one. We all have one. And they, you know, even if your grammar's bad, if your grammar's a little bit better than somebody else's, guess who gets those jack boots on? Go ahead, Daryl.
JP, if you've ever watched me over the several years in chat room, the most common thing I post in the chat room is three words. Four words, I guess. I can not spell.
Oh, there's a lot of us like that. Especially when you're typing. I don't type fast, so I'm trying to get it in, and oh my gosh, I make so many typos. And
well, see, that's what I love about so much about Facebook is Facebook can make you look so more like a really intelligent speller.
Literate.
Because they do the autocorrect. And once in a while, that autocorrect really messes you up and makes you say the opposite of what you meant to say. Over.
Yeah. Yeah, the chat doesn't have that, right? I don't think it has that, so you can't check that.
No, we don't have that. You have to have your own specific.
That's what I appreciate with chat. I hope Mike never does put that in chat because that makes chat more real, and I love that about chat.
I think Mike types with his toes anyway.
And the more you're in chat, after a while, it's really weird. Your brain really fills in the words. Half the time, even if there's words missing and everything, you can pretty much get the gist of it after you do chat a lot, you know? So,
you know, when it comes up to the subject about spelling, you know, the very strange thing about JP, I'm sure you remember, I mentioned I was born and raised in North Dakota, right? And I was born in the year 57, so, and in North Dakota, they suddenly decided that, we were, for some reason, I have memories, like less than 3 years old. And I remember moving to a different farm when I was like three, roughly thereabout. And I have memories several memories before we moved there. And this house that I remember when we first moved there to this farm, there was these old wagon wheels laying around, you know, like laying in a junk, you know, like the junkyard part, you know, of where you discard stuff, you know, wagon wheels from the old Western days, you know, and that kind of stuff, and the house was so old. Okay, the house was completely built with square nails, had two layers of shingles. Even the first layer of cedar shingles was nailed on with square nails. That's how old this house was built before they had electricity in that area. Okay, yep. And then 1970 put me what 12, something like that. The state of North Dakota decided you no longer can live this way because this house had no running water. it had a cistern underneath us, you know, for listeners out there, what a cistern is it's like you dig a pit and you concrete it all in. So it's basically like a great big, huge tub, barrel, whatever, you know. I mean, very, very large, you know, like maybe 10 feet across and maybe 8 feet deep, something like that. And it would be located, most of it being directly underneath the kitchen. And you had the old-fashioned hand pump, well pump, to pump water out of the cistern into a sink. And then the hot water heater, it had a lid on it, and you'd open the lid, and you pump the water out and dump it in the hot water heater, you know. And then we had an outhouse. And then the
our
the farm younger
had the
ones,
thing, and then the room. Yep.
Right. The younger
they didn't
ones,
let you go on the historical
small
homes list?
They
said it was unlivable?
The younger ones. Yeah, the younger ones would take a bath in a square wash tub, and the bigger ones we had this bigger oval wash tub. The adults would take a bath in, and the North Dakota Department of Health, North Dakota said you no longer can live this way, and they gave my parents an ultimatum whether to build on a bathroom or build a new house. So they chose to build a new house. Okay, and to give you an idea, to give you an idea, if you ever seen anything out there about, you've seen this like in Facebook, you know, say remember when and all this stuff, and you see this pail with a dipper in it, and say remember when you got a drink from this, our well was the old-fashioned type that had the big old crank pump. And it got the well.
Yes,
water,
we had the same thing.
The drinking water, right.
Yep.
Right. But this was modified and had a gear system hooked up to it, an electric motor that would take that rod that handle moved up and down, and then it mechanically moved it up and down. And there was a pipe that went from it out maybe 30 feet to the edge of the pasture, and the water went into a big old whatever you want to call this big old tank that the cows would go up and drink out of, and it had a little float thing in it, you know, that when the water dropped so far it turned that converted pump on, and that was the best tasting water I ever remember drinking out of that. And so for the drinking water in the house, we would fill it up from that in a stainless steel bucket, and it was in the kitchen, and with a stainless steel big old dipper, and we drank out of the dipper back then, you know. So It's like what we should be doing now. We should be having smallpox parties instead of chickenpox parties instead of chickenpox vaccinations. But anyway, that's the way I was raised up. Yeah, with the outdoor.
Oh, that's so cool.
Back when we had three black eyed peas for dinner.
Yeah. So anyway, they decided we could no longer live that way, and they gave my parents the ultimatum to build a bathroom onto the house or build a new house. And they chose us to build a new house, and for the next school year, we had to live with my aunt and uncle until
they were doing the changes.
Right.
Our farm was on the historical homes list, and we had the square things too, and we either have 10 pictures. I think it was from 1930, and we have 10 pictures showing them building, and they built four rooms first, and we didn't have anything either. This is long, you know, I never lived there. I used to visit. But then they built onto it, but I don't know if they were forced to do that or not. I'm going to ask my parents if they know, because I know changes were made, But I think my aunt and uncle went for a very long time, so maybe with different laws in that area. But then we got on the historical homes list, and then you could only do certain things to alter it, you know, because it would change the
yeah, in Britain,
home.
That's called being a listed building.
Yeah, but I never heard, but, you know, I don't know, because I haven't even owned a home, but I hadn't heard that you would be forced to choose one or the other. That kind of pisses me off, but, you know, but, wow, that's interesting. Thanks for sharing that. I love stories like that.
Yeah, that was back in /69/70.
Yeah, when they were forcing the change.
So, how did we get here?
I don't know.
Why did we go to your backyard, Daryl?
My backyard now is really awesome. I live in town. I live like really close to downtown. I'm like 7 blocks away from downtown. I mean, this city I live in is the county seat city of this county. Yeah, okay. And I live seven blocks away from the county seat courthouse. And the great thing is that one of the greatest things about this town is so awesome is like this town is so backwards in time. It's like the existence of this city is like at least a minimum 20 years behind time of anywhere else I've been, or 30. And what's really awesome is there's a dry creek in my backyard. And so therefore, when I'm on the backside of my house, it's like being out in the middle of the country. And I'm only 7 blocks from downtown, you know.
Nice. Over.
That's very nice.
Hi, JP.
Yeah, yeah. So we're coming back, so let's see. Is there anything that I said that I'd talk about that I haven't spoken about yet? Cause I want to finish this. I like to bring it all back into a thing, you know, into a,
well, you started out at the very front, like we were going to talk about the healing or the trauma and we did cover.
Oh yeah. Well, there's a little bit of that, but, you know, not everybody likes to talk about it all the time. And it's, you know, it might be my favorite subject, but it's like not everybody.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
But you did bring it up a little with the Lyran and the Pleiades.
Yeah.
So
let's just say, Deb, give me a second.
Yeah. Okay.
Brothers and sisters, if you find yourself in the next few days or in the next few weeks, feeling like you're going to explode, really take this advice. Stop. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Do that 3 times and you can carry on. It's amazing.
So
please listen to me. That's all. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Good night, Deb. Good night, Daryl.
Good night. Love you. Night, Daryl. Night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I love you, everyone.
Okay, there's another one.